Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $300 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $300 into something bigger when you bet on money lines, spread, totals, player props.
$300 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365.
Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Wondering if dangerous contaminants are in your home's water? Get Leaf Home Water Solutions today. We can't live without water, but we can take actions today to make it safer and healthier. Leaf Home Water Solutions is offering a free in-home water test. Just visit leafhome.com/water to schedule yours. With results from their advanced digital testing, Leaf Home Water Solutions can design a whole home system and expertly install it in as little as one day. With Leaf Home Water Solutions, you can feel confident that each drop of water from every tap and appliance is cleaner and safer for you and your family. We can't live without water, but we can take actions today to make our family's water safer with Leaf Home Water Solutions. Schedule your free home water test today at leafhome.com/water and save 15% on all home water treatment systems. That's leafhome.com/water for your free home water test and 15% off. leafhome.com/water.
You're listening to the Common Fan Podcast, a Husker football podcast for the common fan by the common fan.
Welcome back to the Common Fan Podcast. I am TJ Burkle, as always, alongside Matty Owens Sr. and Geoff in Lincoln. Get to the Common Fan website, www.commonfan.co. Subscribe on YouTube. Hit that like button. Follow all the social media accounts. Sign up for the newsletter. And check all of the boxes so you can keep up with all of the fun and frivolity of the Common Fans. The season is almost here, Common Fans. It's weeks away. You got to get ready, get signed up for all the social media accounts, all the things. Also, get your Common Fan socks. Go to silliesco.com, S-I-L-L-I-E-S-C-O.com. Use the promo code GBR for life. That's GBR, number 4, L-I-F-E, to get 25% off anything on the site at silliesco.com. Common Fans, we have a very special guest for you today. Friend of the program, Tim Brando, is back. Tim, this is your second time with the Common Fans. That officially qualifies you for friend of the program status.
Yes. Yes, indeed.
Well, you guys are all FOBs, friend of Brando. So friends of Brando, oh, wow. Always. Friends of Brando, always welcome at Chateau Brando. This is my man cave where all those years I did the radio show before it went on television was located. So awesome. It's great to have you with us. Great to have me with you. Yeah, but I will say this: there's nothing common about you guys. Nothing common. I tell all my friends and young broadcasters, "Well, I'll do this little show." Wait a minute. No show is ever little. It's the biggest show. Whenever you're doing a show, it's the biggest show going. And even if you're quote unquote commoners, okay, as they say across the pond, you're anything but today. All right. You're going to be beyond common today. So as Lou Holtz once said, you don't have to be the best team in college football. You just have to be the best team today. Just be the best team today.
That's great.
Oh my gosh.
Gee, I'm going to love so that. Good.
That's listen, the greatest thing I've ever heard. That is the highest of high praises.
Oh, Geoff is a partial Notre Dame fan. So.
Oh, I gotcha.
And you should.
Dominoes Moviscum.
You should be careful, you know, offering the invite to Chateau Brando because Geoff will just show up asking for coffee and lunch and all sorts of things. Yeah. You know, Tim, before we get started, you know, this is a football only podcast. We say all Husker football all the time. We did get a waiver from the board of directors.
Oh, you did.
And briefly discuss basketball. Your call of the Nebraska UCLA basketball game in January, I think it was with Nick Baugh, coincided with your 40th anniversary as a broadcaster. That was just fantastic. Really thoroughly enjoyable, fun to watch you. And obviously it helped that the Huskers had a nice win that day over, I think UCLA was number 15 at the time or something like that. But
Right,
we just got to give you huge props for that. That was thoroughly enjoyable.
Well, I had a blast. And let me tell you a quick story about that trip. As I was coming in, I gave my boy Dan Whitney a call, Larry, the cable guy. And I said, hey, I'm coming into town for this game. Oh! I'm going to be there. I'm coming. I'm like, well, awesome. You know, and his buddy Tim was going to be there. His best friend locally is a guy named Tim. So we're really good. We're tight.
Yeah.
And so as I'm being driven from Omaha into Lincoln, I said, so listen, I'm going to hang after the game if you guys want to do something. He says, oh, no, you don't want to hang after the game. And I'm like, why not? He says, I just got off the phone with Joe Bastardi. We got a nor'easter coming in here, and you're going to be socked in for like 3 days if you don't get the hell out of here. And I'm like, oh, my God, really? And as it happened, Nick, who, you know, never saw a check he didn't like, had to get to a game for the Big Ten Network the next day. I'm trying to remember where. It might have been Minnesota. I think it might have been in Minneapolis. And so I said, okay, well, he says, no, you got to get out. You got to get out before dark. I think the game was maybe noon. He says, you got to get out of here before 6 o'clock or you're going to be stuck. And just about tip-off time, if you remember that day, it started coming down pretty good. So by the time we were off the air, it was a slow drive. I changed all my plans, got on the phone. And it's funny because Joe Bastardi was the original Weather Channel guy that did radio reports, and he did them for my old radio station in Baton Rouge, Louisiana, back in 1979. That's how long Joe Bastardi has been around. So I trusted him, and we got, and we hung at the, literally got to the airport, went into the public bathroom as though I needed to do more than just, a number one and with my carry bag and change clothes, because I thought this could be a long night of travel, but I did get out of Omaha, got to Dallas, got home that night. Otherwise, I would have been screwed. Without the weather help from Larry the Cable Guy and his pod Joe Bastardi, I would have been stuck there maybe for a week. But the Bruins looked. I mean, that was a huge win for Nebraska. Probably their biggest of the season to that point. I thought they were a shoo-in for the tournament. I really did. You know, a couple of injuries here and there. And, you know, it just shows you how fragile a basketball season can be when a couple of things happen to you right after that on a long road trip in the Big Ten. And, but as I told you guys before we came on, I was happy to see them at the Crown. And look what they did at the Crown. So good for them. So
yeah, absolutely.
I hope I get back for another game. That was my first game at the arena there since it's been built. I was excited to be there. Yeah, I had not done a Nebraska game since Danny Nee had an NCAA tournament team there.
Oh yeah.
Wow. When I was back in the 80s when I was at ESPN. So I was thrilled to get back there for that.
Wow. Awesome. That's fantastic. Awesome. So well, looking ahead, you know, Nebraska's famous, but Nebraska football fans are famous for feeling like we always win the off season. And once again, optimism is pretty high in Husker Nation. You know, you came on with us last year. You predicted they'd get to a bowl game. You predicted that Illinois game that you called would be pivotal, and we lost, but it was quite pivotal for our season.
Yeah, for both teams.
Yeah, that's exactly right. That's exactly right. So you were pretty well spot on last year. What are your thoughts on the 2025 Huskers? What do you see for the Big Red this year?
Well, I think it's a similar scenario. There are some questions, obviously, with Dana coming in to run the offense, with Butler, although a veteran coach at the highest of levels, and we've never seen him call a defense. So those are two major, you know, changes. I don't have any doubt whatsoever about the Holgorsen effect on Dylan Raiola. I think it's going to be tremendous for him. I do concern myself a little bit with the running game by committee. How is that going to go? You lost some key guys back there, but the schedule I think is really one that could be navigated. And frankly, that Illinois game, going back to that Friday night game, it's probably the reason why in my preseason top 15, which, as you know, is not a starting grid. It's more of a predicted finish, an order of finish, if you will. I've got Illinois in the top 10. I think they're a playoff team because of all the players they've got coming back and a schedule, I think, that suits them. But they've got mojo. They've got a lot of mojo that they created, and it all started in that win against Nebraska. In fact, had they not lost a very close game to Minnesota in a game I was up in Champaign for with Devin Gardner towards the end of the year, and that was a very close game, tilted on a turnover late, they would have won 11 games. 11 games last year. As it was, they won 10, including the bowl win against a really good South Carolina team. So, you know, Nebraska, they lost some close games after that, which, by the way, has been the issue for quite a while. I don't need to tell you guys that. But I would probably have Nebraska in the same spot where I have Illinois this year, were it not for the way that game turned and the loss in overtime on that Friday night. That's the lingering residue of an early season game. For college football is still, even with NIL, even with the portal, it's still an emotional game. It's a far more emotional game than the pro game. And I think some of the issues that Nebraska had in the aftermath of the loss to Illinois might not have been, I mean, those one loss begets another loss begets another loss. That happens in college football. It happened to Frost ad nauseum. Rule has had to get past it, but just getting to that bowl game, getting that pinstripe ball, doing what you did there, really helps. It gives you, I think, added incentive and a lot of room for growth. And Rayola as a sophomore will be far better than he was as a freshman. And I thought he was a damn good freshman. So then the schedule, look, I'm big on schedules. And Nebraska did not make my top 15, but they were very, very close. I think after Illinois, the next team that didn't make it that I would probably have there, and you could replace Illinois with them if Indiana beats Illinois, I think that's the most critical game being overlooked in the Big Ten all season long. Indiana-Illinois early. The winner of that game is going to be in a situation similar to what I thought last year's Nebraska-Illinois game might be, okay? And Indiana, as you know, returns a ton of people. But I think they just got better at the quarterback position. Okay. Mendoza is a step up from Rourke. So Indiana is very dangerous. But the other team that is just on the cusp, in my opinion, of top 15 material is Nebraska. And one of the reasons for that is the schedule. The schedule is, look, are they going to be close games? Yeah. They're going to be close games, but the notion that you could get to, oh, let's see, let's say you beat Michigan, okay? Let's say that game September 20th goes your way. You're looking at Michigan State coming to you. That's winnable. Got to go to Maryland. Winnable. Minnesota at their place. Could you get to Minnesota undefeated or just with one loss? I think the chances of that are pretty good. Yeah. So if you're able to do that, if you're able to do that, and again, none of them are cakewalks. They're all close games. You know, they're not walkovers by any stretch. You got to be at your best. But I think that the program in and of itself sort of graduated a little at the end of the year, that late rally and doing what you did to win those games to get yourself bowl eligible and to win the bowl game, I think is added incentive to get you in a good spot this year. Need to stay healthy. Need to keep Rayola healthy. That's a given, or all bets are off. But fellas, that's true for so many teams now in college football. You lose your trigger. You lose the guy that stirs the, you know, is the straw that stirs the drink, as the cliche goes. Then everybody's in trouble. But I definitely think that last year I said you'd have a winning season, get a bowl win. This year I think the potential of getting to 10 wins is there. I mean, it is there.
Yes.
And let's say if I gave you 9-3 now, would you take it?
Absolutely.
Hell yes.
Taking that all day, every day.
9-3 now with a bowl win to get to 10, which is basically what what happened with Illinois. You could do this year what Illinois did last, and Illinois got there, in my opinion, based on what they accomplished in that road game. And by the way, Luke Altmyer had a lot of reps on Dylan Raiola, okay, mm-hmm. and it really showed up late in that game, and I think Dylan is going to be better for it, and I just give Illinois a little bit of an edge because of the experience of Luke Altmyer and his leadership capabilities as a result of that, plus a lot of returning players on their team, just like Nebraska.
Well, Tim, I was going to ask you too, and you kind of already alluded to it, but first of all, I'm not even looking past the Cincinnati game, to be quite honest with you.
No, I don't know why,
but even that
Cincinnati's
that
good.
That scares me.
Yeah, they're good.
So I've got to get through that game one to just set the tone for the season.
Right.
But you mentioned it already, like the Holgorsen effect on Dylan. And last year, as you know, he started off, showed some signs of greatness, kind of regressed a little bit. You could argue that maybe Satterfield might have been part of the problem there mm-hmm. with the play calling. But then, you know, at the end of the season, even going into the bowl game, kind of a return to form. I take it you think Dylan's going to take it to the next level in 2025 then?
I do. And you know, Dana will, whatever the issues with, and I like Coach Satterfield. Everybody's going to have, fans are always going to have a scapegoat. I get it. There were times Satterfield was a little more conservative than you liked, and maybe more conservative than Raiola needed him to be, because he's a dynamic player. I'll give you a classic example, a comparison with another player in another league. Kansas State does what most of the time? They don't beat themselves, and they win close games, a lot like Iowa State. They're going to play in Farmageddon coming up. I think the winner of that game is going to tilt each one of their seasons, okay, whoever wins that game in the Big 12. Avery Johnson is a dynamic quarterback, like Raiola, a freshman. Avery Johnson looked really good, very dynamic early. The week before we came to see Raiola, we saw Avery against Arizona. He had an unbelievable night. But when you have dynamic quarterbacks that can beat you with their arm and their legs, and they've got a live arm and escapability, and both these guys do, what happens sometimes, especially when they're young, they don't protect the football. Johnson, for all of the dynamic plays he made, he turned it over. That's something that K-State teams just don't do. The opposing quarterback in Farmageddon is Rocco Becht, Anthony Becht's son. Rocco can make big plays late. He's a gamer, but he's not nearly as dynamic a talent as Avery Johnson. You always want that steady hand a lot, you know, over the dynamic guy when you're trying to win the game the way teams like K-State, Iowa State, and to some extent Nebraska like to win. That's the challenge to Raiola this year, is to, in his quest to make great plays, which he's got the ability to make, he has to be smart and know when to protect the ball, know what the circumstances are, know where the line of scrimmage is, and when to protect it and when to sling it. And I think that year's growth with a guy like Holgorsen, who wants to get the ball down the field. Dana wants to get the ball down the field. He wants them to run it, but he wants to get vertical. And, you know, that's the way he's always coached the position, going all the way back to his days as an offensive coordinator at Oklahoma State. And if you think about it, what he did as a head coach at West Virginia was pretty amazing. You know, he took them to incredible heights. They were never happy with him in Morgantown, but he was a hell of a head coach for them. The Houston situation, it tells you a lot about a job with a fan base when you leave for a non-Power 5 job, and he did, to go to Houston. Yeah, there was a lot of money involved, but it just didn't work out at Houston because they couldn't recruit the talent for the Big 12 as quickly as they needed him to. This is a great get for the Nebraska program to have Dana Holgorsen running Matt's offense.
Well, that's a great segue into the next question, Tim. I've been a big Dana Holgorsen fan for years, going back to his offensive coordinator days at Okie State.
Yeah.
How much of a difference do you think Dana can make this fall for Nebraska? It seemed like they really kind of took to him late in the year last year when he took over the play calling.
Yeah.
So I guess the expectation around Husker Nation is that. That was a nice little rhyme there. Expectation
mm-hmm.
is that is that with the whole offseason with Dana, they're just going to hit the ground running, and the offense is going to be scoring 40 points.
Yeah, I agree.
What do you think?
It's one of the reasons I'm so optimistic about Nebraska. Again, as long as they stay healthy, especially keeping Dylan healthy. And that's, again, one of those areas where Dylan's got to be smart, you know, not just protect the ball, but protect himself. You know, sometimes you got to save the kid from himself.
Yeah,
and I'm sure Dana will be preaching that to him. You know, you may think you can run it. And I mean, if they're in man coverage and everybody turns their back and, you know, you got, you know, a lot of green grass in front of you. Yeah, go. But if it's an iffy situation, just check it down. Check it down. Go to that guy and get out of it. Be smart, you know, run, but run wisely. Okay. And I'm sure that's what he's telling him. The thing about Dana is being an offensive coordinator, it's like he's unchained now. He doesn't have to worry about a lot of those responsibilities that head coaches generally have. Dana sometimes, as a head coach, could be his own worst enemy by being so honest. As a broadcaster, Dana would talk to us as a head coach like an OC would, with the understanding that what he's saying is never going to be repeated. I think Dana made a mistake a few times by being a little too loose with his honesty as a head coach, not just with us, but with the media at large. And from time to time, it got him into some trouble, particularly in a major media market like Houston, where, you know, you got all these pro franchises and writers that are writing about your team as though you're a pro team too. Okay. You don't have that quite as much in Lincoln, Nebraska, and certainly not for the offensive coordinator. You really don't have it. So, you know, Matt can take all the slings and arrows, and he can just go do his job. And I think that frees Dana up to be who he really is and who he's more natural at being, and work with the quarterback in a way that only makes Dylan Raiola even more difficult to defend.
Love it.
Love that. Yeah, my internet connection got really shaky there for a second. I'm still here. I'm going to go off the board here, Tim. So not just talking about the current 2025 Huskers, but you're probably an avid listener of the program. So you probably already know that we put out a series over the summer called TO, which covered every decade of the Tom Osborne era, going all the way back to the 60s when he was assistant, all the way up to the 90s when we were just, you know, railing off national titles left and right. So I'm sure you listened to all of those, so you're well-versed on it. We already know that. What do you think of when you hear the name Tom Osborne? What's the first thing that comes into your head when you think of T.O.?
Class. I mean, just incredible class. Never shaken, just always. I think of that moment in 84 when there was no denying he was going to go for two, and yet many coaches would have at least had pause. Okay. I mean, let's face it, that's a national championship that you're putting on the line, that if you just chose to do what Ara Parseghian did in 66 with Michigan State, he knew he was going to win the national title over Alabama in the midst of, you know, the civil rights movement and the George Wallace governorship in the state of Alabama. That there was no way writers were going to vote Notre Dame behind Alabama. You know, those Crimson Tide fans still can't get over that. Okay, you can argue that that was the best team in college football that year. They had no tie. They had no blemish. But the Michigan State Notre Dame game, which I watched as a 10-year-old, that was the first game of the century. Parseghian was calculated, really, in his decision to go for the tie. And it's funny because Duffy Daugherty, who later became an analyst with ABC with Chris Schenkel, he kind of got it too. He understood. Okay. But Nebraska, Tom Osborne was just, it was never, he never thought about not going for two. We're going. And that Howard Schnellenberger's team could vault from number four to number one never entered his mind. It wasn't like, you know, it's on the line for both teams. It was on the line for his team, not for Miami's. Miami's, if they win the game and finish second to Auburn that year, because Auburn was ranked ahead of them, you know, Miami got drilled. You know, years later, if you think about it, Miami was in a situation where they lost a game at the Sugar Bowl, and Auburn beat Michigan 9-7. That was a different year, but Auburn was vaulted. And it's happened many times when Riders were in control. Don't tell me coaches don't know what's at stake. They know. Tom Osborne could have kicked that extra point and won the national championship. Okay? Simple as that. The game was being played on Miami's home field at the Orange Bowl. And by the way, it was the only time the Orange Bowl would ever get packed, would be for the Orange Bowl game, with Miami playing Nebraska or Oklahoma or Washington or Nebraska. Okay? So that's just the way it was back in those days. As recently as Frosty's first home game back in 2000, was that 2018 or 19? I'm trying to remember now the year.
18.
I think it was 18, yeah. They were going to play Akron. I came in early, went to practice, and Dr. Tom was there. And I went over and visited with him and all our guys, my spotter, Brett Bender, Gary's son, been with me for 30 years. He came over. Spencer came over. We all took, you know, he's watching practice, but he still would have a cordial conversation with you, you know, and just a giant of a human being, a hell of a guy. I think the days of, you know, the Bobby Bowden matchups against Tom Osborne, those moments when I'll never forget, it was Tom Osborne who first told me about what Bobby had done. Coming over to see his team right after the game, that Dr. Tom came to see his team after the loss and congratulate them when they got that unbelievable win that helped vault them. And at that time, that was a year when Florida State was playing as an independent, and they were playing road games to make money games at Pitt, Ohio State, Nebraska, LSU, you know, and Tom Osborne, he was the kind of guy that would do things like Daryl Royal or Paul Bear Bryant would do. Okay. And that was when coaching was really a fraternity. And guys did really good things for one another.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $300 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $300 into something bigger when you bet on money lines, spread, totals, player props.
$300 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365.
Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Wondering if dangerous contaminants are in your home's water? Get Leaf Home Water Solutions today. We can't live without water, but we can take actions today to make it safer and healthier. Leaf Home Water Solutions is offering a free in-home water test. Just visit leafhome.com/water to schedule yours. With results from their advanced digital testing, Leaf Home Water Solutions can design a whole home system and expertly install it in as little as one day. With Leaf Home Water Solutions, you can feel confident that each drop of water from every tap and appliance is cleaner and safer for you and your family. We can't live without water, but we can take actions today to make our family's water safer with Leaf Home Water Solutions. Schedule your free home water test today at leafhome.com/water and save 15% on all home water treatment systems. That's leafhome.com/water for your free home water test and 15% off. leafhome.com/water. Wondering if dangerous contaminants are in your home's water? Get Leaf Home Water Solutions today. We can't live without water, but we can take actions today to make it safer and healthier. Leaf Home Water Solutions is offering a free in-home water test. Just visit leafhome.com/water to schedule yours. With results from their advanced digital testing, Leaf Home Water Solutions can design a whole home system and expertly install it in as little as one day. With Leaf Home Water Solutions, you can feel confident that each drop of water from every tap and appliance is cleaner and safer for you and your family. We can't live without water, But we can take actions today to make our family's water safer with Leaf Home Water Solutions. Schedule your free home water test today at leafhome.com/water and save 15% on all home water treatment systems. That's leafhome.com/water for your free home water test and 15% off. leafhome.com/water.
Even though they were real competitors. And you know, it's funny that there was only one guy that Daryl couldn't stand, and it was after Emery Ballard had given Barry Switzer the wishbone. You probably saw that. If you haven't seen it, you need to see it. That 30 for 30 that ESPN Films did on the wishbone. My buddy Spencer Tillman's all over it. But Ballard was probably the most underrated coach ever. He was the architect of the wishbone. He created it for Texas. He took it to Texas A&M, then took it to Oklahoma, and in turn took it to Alabama. And if you look back at the 70s and those teams, there was like seven of the national championships were won by teams with the bone. And it was Ballard that did it, and yet he never really got full credit for it. Because you know he wasn't the head coach, but he gave those other coaches, you know, the information they needed. Daryl really didn't like the fact that Switzer got a hold of it. He didn't like it at all. But Daryl Royal's relationship with Osborne and Osborne his relationship with Switzer, who was really, I mean, think about what Nebraska didn't get accomplished solely because of Oklahoma and how great that offense was that he had that Barry had. And yet Osborne always treated Switzer with tremendous class. There was never really any animosity whatsoever. And that's just speaks a lot of the man, you know, it really does. Kind of like Bowden's issues that he had with Miami and the wide rights. How many national championships would Bobby have won? In the 80s, he had 14 straight teams that finished in the top five of the AP poll. That's a run that a lot of people overlook. He only won the two national titles. He could have won six or seven had it not been for the wide rights that he had against Miami. but Bowden's kryptonite was Miami, and Osborne's kryptonite was Oklahoma, when you think about it. And yet there was a lot of respect that Tom always had for those that he opposed in coaching and even those that conquered him. You know, that's what I think about with Tom.
Well put. That's love awesome. That.
Well, sticking with college football legends, this fall, Lee Corso will make his final College game day appearance.
Yeah.
And, you know, we know you go back, you probably go back with Coach Corso back to ESPN days. I know he's been there a long time. What can you say about Lee Corso and his impact on college football?
Well, I can say this first and foremost. I do go back to his audition at ESPN for the original College game day. And he auditioned with Pepper Rogers. They did it simultaneously. And I'm 30 years old, and I've been told that I'm going to host the first ever preseason game in college football television history. And I'm working with Dino Cook, and we're going to audition Pepper and Lee Corso to see who the other guy would be. Corso was also going to do games when we had two games. We used to, in those days, we had the CFA primetime game, which I had been on the sidelines for in 86. And then when I moved up to Connecticut and they made me full time, I was still living in Baton Rouge at that time. So technically I was a freelancer. When I was working sidelines in 86, 87, I move up there and I thought I was going to do games and they tell me, no, you're going to be the host of College game day. And I was like, whoa, okay, what's this? And when they told me, I was excited about it. Yeah. But a little disappointed because you guys know me, I always wanted to call games, not necessarily be in a sterile studio in Bristol, Connecticut, but it was anything but sterile with Lee in it. And with Bino too, those two going at it could be. And I could go on and on. I could write a full book, not just a chapter in a book about those experiences. But Lee's understanding of not just the coaching end, but the entertainment end of television was well beyond other coaches of his generation. You know, he just and he was 50. See, he's 90 now, and I'm turning 70 in February. So he's about 50, 51. I'm 30 about to turn 31. And so he's got me about 20 years. And, you know, you think when you're that age and you're just starting out, well, he's going to do this for a few years and then get another coaching job. Coaches that come into television are only there for a short time because they've got this sickness. Okay. It's like coaching is a sickness. It's a disease that captures some guys and they can't get it out of their system. Lee had already coached not only at Northern Illinois for a year, a long period of time, obviously at Indiana, 10 years at Louisville, where he took them to bowl games. He had coached at basketball schools and had success, but his record was sub 500 as a head football coach. And in his early 50s, here he is coaching in the USFL. That's where I first met him, was doing USFL games in the summer of 1985. So I knew him, and I knew he'd be good on television, but I didn't think he would want to stay. But the day that we were auditioning him, he told me not only was he in, but he was in to stay, that this was going to be his vehicle. He was like, "Timmy D, you're smooth and error free, sweetheart." He said, sweetheart, I'm here for the duration. Okay. I'm going to be," and he said it, "this show is going to be the trigger for your career and my career. Okay. I am going to be," and he said it, I'm not, at the very moment that he got this opportunity, he said, "I'm going to be the Dick Vitale of college football. Football doesn't have one. And this show is going to be my vehicle." And I'm thinking, I just want to do an incredible job and get out of here and go call a football game. I did not have the vision of College Game Day ever becoming an iconic show of any kind. Okay. And because we were in the studio, it sort of felt like, you know, a sports center that specialized in college football. That's what the assignment sort of felt like, but it was anything but. And he got my attention with that. And I attacked my job a lot differently because of the inspiration he gave me in his audition. And the whole time, because Pepper Rogers was a charismatic guy too, great storyteller, tremendous speaker. He was one of those Washington Speakers Bureau, you know, $25,000 a night guys that were on the speaking circuit once he got out of coaching. He had been in the USFL with the Memphis Showboats. So those two had both impressed producers at ESPN enough to get the audition. And the whole time, Lee, knowing that Pepper had a great career at Georgia Tech, at UCLA, had a better winning percentage, clearly, than Lee, he thought he was the underdog. So the whole time they were auditioning, the two of them, when the cameras were off and we weren't taping anything, Lee would be in Pepper's ear going, "Hey, Pepper, you know, they're talking. I didn't know, but they're talking to me about this might be an every week thing. Are you going to have enough time to come up here and do this every week? I mean, you've got all these speeches to do. I mean, I don't know. You'd be taking a pay cut, wouldn't you? You don't want to do this, do you?" And Pepper's like, "Well, you know, I really hadn't thought about that." He is conning this guy into not wanting the job while he's auditioning for the job.
That's awesome.
It just tells you what a salesman Lee was. All the time, yep, in the back of his head, he's going, "This is going to be my vehicle. I'm going to be the crown prince of college football. I'm going to be the next Dickie V." So he was working an angle on Pepper Rogers, God rest his soul, while they were auditioning, the two of them. And this whole generation now today, and really a couple of generations, really, because you go back to the headgear, which started in 96. That was long after I had left. I was at CBS by that time. Many, you know, of not this generation, but even the generation that preceded it, think of him as this jovial, funny guy that did this must-watch segment, putting headgear on his head. Lee Corso knew the game and could break down a game, whether he was calling the game or in the studio. And because Beano was the other guy in the studio with me, it was Beano that was doing the Corso stuff that people are acquainted with Lee doing the last 30 years. Corso did, I mean, he watched Beano be the butt of the joke, which he was in those early days at ESPN. We made fun of him all the time. I would say we're, you know, welcome to College Game Day, Timmy B with Beano Cook, who, by the way, the over-under today on the number of Beano's chins is 6. You know, we had all kinds of fun at his expense, but Lee watched that and saw that Beano had a personality that fed off of it and didn't mind being the butt of the joke. So as time wore on and Craig James came in the early 90s, by that time Fowler had taken Game Day over. I had gone and done games with Vince Dooley his first year out of coaching in 89. But then they started flying me up to do the halftimes and the wraparounds that we called them in 91 and 92. My last year was 93 doing that. And when I was doing that with him, Craig James had come in. Well, then Craig left, went to CBS, and Herb Street came in. So his role, Corso's role, had to change. He was no longer the XO guy. He was the sole entertainment guy. He was the guy that was going to do the funny things and was going to say outlandish things. But if you listened closely enough, you'd know that this guy still understood college football in a very large way. But he provided so much credibility for us in those early days. And not many guys that were that age then that were in coaching could go out and call a game and break down a replay as well as he could, and then come into the studio, speak in sound bites, and be memorable. Lee was one of the most extraordinarily talented broadcasters that came from coaching ever. And this is all fresh in my head because they're doing this documentary on Lee, which is, I think, appropriately named Not So Fast, My Friend. Okay, that's the name of
right.
it.
Perfect. Yep.
And I was stunned that they actually reached out to me to be a part of it. They came to Southern Trace here in Shreveport a little over a week ago to interview me, and we went down memory lane, and it was really something special for me to be asked to be a part of it. And it reminded me of how valuable that time in my life was. Even though as I was approaching it, I might have had a bit of a cavalier attitude thinking, okay, well, this is what I'm doing now, but I better do, and the reason I need to do it well is because I want to get the hell out of here to go call games, which is, you know, I had no idea that, you know, Getty Oil had just sold to Cap Cities, and then later Cap Cities would sell to Disney, and then all of a sudden they'd have this extraordinary budget and they could go on the road and do the games, do the shows every week on the road. Beano wanted to do the shows on the road all the time. Oh. But we did not have that budget back then. ESPN in 1986, 87, when I started, was not the 1,200-pound gorilla of sports television. Everyone that worked there wanted to be at either CBS, ABC, or NBC. We sort of felt like we were in AAA, okay? We were in a better position than being in a local broadcaster or a regional broadcaster. But we weren't network just yet. Okay, network was the 3-letter guys, not the 4-letter place. That clearly has changed and flipped over time, really sort of into the 90s and late 90s. But those days in the 80s were when ESPN had really paid its dues, and guys like us that were involved in the network at that time and had the good fortune of being there, we were the test pilots for the growth. We were doing things that had never been done before, and we had to be extra creative when we did it, which made us all better, I think, and helped me along the way. But Lee had vision that no one else, other than the guy that hired us, Steve Bornstein, had. He had a vision for what the show could do. Didn't have the budget for it yet, but he had the vision. And looking back on it, and them coming to get my thoughts about him in that time was something I really treasure. So we'll see. I might be on the editing room floor. I might not be on it at all. but at least they came to see me.
Oh, that's
I bet you gave fantastic. Some great that's, stuff, I have a, Timmy.
I have a question for my two co-hosts here. Am I the Beano Cook of this podcast and I just don't know it?
Yes.
I feel like I just get ripped on all the time.
Yeah. You don't have as many chins.
I'm believable.
And Notre Dame and Penn State should play for the national championship every season.
National title. I always have material. But you know, Brando, I can't believe that UCLA and LSU are struggling. They got all the money, all the potential at UCLA and LSU. And I'm like, yeah, I can't believe you cannot pronounce the letter L. I would purposely get him on conversations. I would make bets with producers that I would get him to say LSU and UCLA in the same sentence. So he could go Barbara Wawa and screw up the letter L.
Wawa. That's awesome.
Oh my gosh. All right. Tim, bringing it back to the Huskers that's all that America cares about. Right. You know, this conversation happens every year. It's clearly time for football again because we're having the blue blood conversation again.
Yeah.
And I'm a big Andy Staples fan, but the last couple of years he's put out his list of blue bloods and Nebraska has not been on it. And I think that's probably the most ridiculous thing on planet Earth. Let's put it to Tim Brando.
You know how writers are. Writers are stirring your pot.
DJ. I know.
That's what they're doing.
Until they
show me something, they are no longer a blue blood. I have different views on that, clearly, because I do care about the history and tradition of the game. You know, to me, what happened in the 70s, the 80s, and the 90s matters. To these writers, and especially guys, and listen, I think of the world of Staples as a writer. There are a lot of good ones out there in college football, but some things are given. When it comes to those guys that we call scribes, all right, whatever they can do to piss you off as a quote past blue blood, they'll do. Okay.
Oh, yeah.
On occasion, I'll do it too, but I'd never do it to Nebraska because I have too many friends in Nebraska and too many buddies of mine here from Nebraska. But I'm with you.
So you got Nebraska as a blue blood.
Oh, of course.
On record.
Yeah. Good.
All right.
Thank you, Tim.
Well, Sven, speaking of friends, we got to give a shout out to Dick Chilvers again for connecting us. Great friend of the program, Dick Chilvers.
Yeah. And when you see those videos of yours truly from time to time, at least 50% of them are being shot by fellow left-handed golfer Dick Chilvers. And talk about fountain of youth. We went out to dinner the other night. He and his wife and my wife went up to dinner the other night and they fly around the world. You know, he's like not just America's guest, but the world's guest. And he takes the guys that live out here. He'll take their families, all the retired guys. They go on these 2-week junkets, 10-day junkets all around the calendar with Dick. He's a gracious host, really good guy. It's impossible not to like him. He's really a typical Nebraska fan. He's like one of those guys. Take you back in time. Let's say it's the 80s, 86 Sugar Bowl, and Nebraska's playing LSU. LSU's just won the SEC. Bill Arnsparger's coaching, and you come into the Sugar Bowl. Nebraska's coming in to play the game, and all the fans down here are like, Tommy, to all the Nebraska fans. And Chilvers, even as a young person, would have been one of those guys going, isn't that nice? Look at them. Those people are crazy. But it seemed like... They seem like some really fun people to party with, you know, instead of having any animosity and going, hell with you. We're big red. No. Aren't they nice? That's really, I mean, that's Nebraska fans.
Yeah. That's right. Yep.
You guys are just good to everybody. You know, you are.
That's right. Well, for the common fans who don't know, Dick Chilvers is an old friend of my father's. We actually went to the 2002 Rose Bowl. Dick came along with us when we played a very good Miami team that year. If you have time for one more question, Tim, just curious, thoughts on your favorites to win the Big Ten this year?
Well, Ohio State, I'm sorry, even with the changes and even with the changes of quarterback, I just think they're too deep, too strong, and one name and one name only, Jeremiah Smith. Who can defend him, okay? I mean, Oregon, who I think has a decent defense and had defended him once, granted it was a home game, but he's one of those guys, you just put it up there he goes and gets it. It's like Jeremiah Smith is like one of about five receivers that Spurrier used to have at Florida that Danny Werfel could just throw the ball up and they'd go get it. That's Jeremiah Smith. You know, you don't have to even be on target with him. You could throw it behind him, above him. He makes every play, unless he gets hurt. And I don't think he will. Certainly wouldn't wish it on him by any stretch. I don't think anybody can defend him. Now, will Ohio State lose? We're going to see multiple lost teams win national titles now. Okay, Buckeyes lost two last year and won it, right? You got to be built for the long haul now to win a national championship. By that, I mean, you can have a bad game against and with a bad offensive plan, and they did against Michigan, okay, still rebound from it and get into the field of 12 or 16 and win the damn thing. But you have to be deep and you have to be really good and well coached. And I think Ohio State is all of those things. Texas is a team that I understand why they're preseason number one. Arch Manning is the goods. But against that schedule, I'm sorry. I just don't think they can do it. Now, I've got them at 5 in my top 15 poll. But in the Big Ten, the other team, there's several teams that can give Ohio State fits. Okay, we know that they've had issues with Michigan. They ought to get past that this year. Okay, I don't think they want to have a handful of straight losses to them. But Illinois is a tough out. And as I said before, Indiana is going to be even better offensively with Mendoza. The kid coming over from Cal is the goods. He's a big-time talent. He's better than Rourke, who was as good of a newcomer as you had in the Big Ten. The league is just Minnesota solid. There's so many good teams in the Big Ten. It's becoming more and more like the SEC in the sense that other teams, the middle of the pack, the Nebraskas, the Indianas, the Illinois, teams that have not been in the mix are now going to be in the mix. And so those are the teams that I think you have to keep an eye on out of the Big Ten Conference. And is there a spoiler alert out there somewhere? Yeah, and I'll tell you who I think that team is. They'll likely beat somebody and spoil a season, and that's Rutgers. Brent Schiano's team is a team you don't want to play early. And I think they've got a critical game against Iowa the fourth week of the season. Iowa's returning a lot of guys. And this kid they brought in from South Dakota, the quarterback, is pretty good. I'll be interested to see in Tim Lester's second year as OC how much better they get in terms of scoring points. They improved. I mean, they were the doormat for a long time. Will they get better? Iowa's defense is going to be, as you know, what Parker's defenses always are. So, but Rutgers is a spoiler this year. Keep an eye on that team to, you know, maybe win 8 games or so, and some of them might be significant wins.
Great stuff. Will we see you in Lincoln this fall?
I hope so. My old partner, Spencer Tillman's coming in week 2, I think. It's Houston Christian. I think he's got that game. I told him in our seminar we were having a couple of weeks ago, I have a good time in Nebraska, man. We always do. But Devin and I, we really hope that we get there later on in the season. We do. You guys stay relevant, okay? Primarily the games that I do are on Fox. So what it means a lot of times is with CBS and with NBC a part of the mix now, a lot of times those second and third games that I used to do with Spencer are now falling to CBS and NBC. So if you're in a game late in the year, we went to Michigan for the Northwestern game, Devin Gardner and I did, Thanksgiving weekend, the week before Thanksgiving, so like mid-November. You guys, before that Iowa game, have some other games that are important, but maybe not as important as some of the more high-profile games. So you could be like that first game on FS1 from the Big Ten that would fall into that fourth spot, but still a very important game, and I'm hoping that that Devin and I get there. That's sort of the way the cookie crumbles for us with the Big Ten schedule, unless I have one early, which I do. We've got some of these Friday games. I wish we had a Friday game in Lincoln like we did last year. I hope you guys continue to at least look at playing games on Friday, because it helps with your exposure. It really does. Even though you lost that game, more people knew about Nebraska and Dylan Raiola after that game, because it was highly competitive and either team could have won.
I think that's right. Yep. Fantastic stuff. Friend of the program, Tim Brando, thank you so much for all
the time.
Always a pleasure to talk to you, Tim. And we sure hope to see you in Lincoln this fall.
You bet. Same to you.
All right. Thank you, sir. Stick with us, Common fans. We'll be back at you soon. In the meantime, as always, GBR for life.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $300 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $300 into something bigger when you bet on money lines, spread, totals, player props.
$300 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365.
Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Wondering if dangerous contaminants are in your home's water? Get Leaf Home Water Solutions today. We can't live without water, but we can take actions today to make it safer and healthier. Leaf Home Water Solutions is offering a free in-home water test. Just visit leafhome.com/water to schedule yours. With results from their advanced digital testing, Leaf Home Water Solutions can design a whole home system and expertly install it in as little as one day. With Leaf Home Water Solutions, you can feel confident that each drop of water from every tap and appliance is cleaner and safer for you and your family. We can't live without water, but we can take actions today to make our family's water safer with Leaf Home Water Solutions. Schedule your free home water test today at leafhome.com/water and save 15% on all home water treatment systems. That's leafhome.com/water for your free home water test and 15% off. LeafHome.com/water.